Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Boston.
Right, Danny?
Boston?
It is Boston.
Boston.
Hi.
Thank you to Albert Breer, Danny, Jeff. Thank you. Back at 7 a.m. tomorrow, Crosstalk brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Fall Thoroughbred Racing back at Hawthorne with a newly remodeled rooftop deck for both sports betting. Thank you, PointsBet. Horse Racing. Thank you, Club Hawthorne. Get in all the action with Hawthorne. And our friend David Haw texted me and said Notre Dame was offered a chance to match the money and he would stay.
They punted.
And they declined.
Pass.
I love Haw's
columns. There you go.
I love Haw's columns. What's he doing these days?
Writes for the Trip.
Oh, really?
That's it.
Remember
nothing else.
Remember when he was on the radio with
No, nothing else.
That guy should be on the radio someplace. He's always got great thoughts.
He does.
Speaking of Albert Breer, what was he peddling last week with you guys? That Ryan Day... what did he say?
He's peddling it.
That Pat Fitzgerald's a more realistic option for the Bears than Ryan. Wait, was he peddling something like that with you guys last week? What did he say, Merck? He said something like that. We were talking about in the office.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you in a week. And keep going for the Buckeyes.
We got a million things going on here. You got to put headphones on.
He's playing sound, and you're talking over sound.
Yeah, you yell at me about that.
Whoa. What did he say?
Carmen Yurko. Bop, 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 bop. What's up, fellas?
I'll tell you what's up. Albert Breer, because he's an Ohio State guy, he's trying to No, you don't want Ryan Day. You want Pat Fitzgerald. Get out of here, Albert.
You know why he's saying that.
I know why he's saying
it. He doesn't want his guy to go.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I got news for you, Albert. If they want Ryan Day, they're going after Ryan Day.
Damn right.
And you're going to have to deal with it.
Damn right.
I drank till 4 in the morning in a London pub. With Albert Breer,
you
all right?
Did. How'd that go?
Well, not
for
a pub.
You?
The pub's closed early. It was a club. The pub's closed at like 11. Then you got to go clubbing in London. We drank till 4 in the morning. Me and Danny and Albert Breer.
Really?
And I think JD was out with us too.
JD, Michael C. Wright,
Michael C.
Billy Ochepka, Alex Maragos, the great intern.
But I got
and
news.
And I
for,
saved your life that
you
night.
You did not save my life. I got news for Albert Breer. For you can stop with the Pat Fitzgerald over Ryan Day nonsense.
Keep going for the Buckeyes.
Keep going for the Buckeyes. That's it.
That was heartfelt. I heard that live. That was heartfelt.
On.
Keep going for the Buckeyes.
Keep on. Hey, Ryan, keep on pitching.
Odd show. Very odd.
Would you like a baseball nugget?
Oh, I know. John Heyman. I love nuggets.
The Rockies engaged on Chris Bryant.
The Rockies.
Why As are the Blue Jays.
They got to replace Trevor Story. They got to replace Nolan Arenado.
John Gray.
Well, but he's not a pitcher.
No.
I mean,
they got to get pitching, too.
Sure. Good luck to you.
Yeah. The Chicago Cubs. We've got news. Jeff Passan. Chicago Cubs have agreed to a 2-year contract with catcher Yan Gomes.
Okay. There you go, Cubs. It's all coming together, you see?
$13 million.
Yan Gomes slides right in between Schwindy City and who
Schwindy
else?
City.
Who's
Yan
the
Gomes
other guy?
A starter.
I don't know. Yan Gomes.
Schwindy City and who?
Yan Gomes, you catch 90 games maybe if you're Yan Gomes. 80 games? I don't know.
How old is he?
Wisdom.
I don't know. Yeah, Patrick Wisdom. I forgot about Wisdom.
Wisdom and Schwindel.
Schwindy City and Wisdom.
I was trying to find a second name for you.
Yan Gomes is 34.
34.
He's a grandfather.
He had a great year this year. He hit .221.
Well,
Don't
tell me what he's hitting. Tell me when he's hitting it.
That's right. Yes! Yes!
Is he coming in as the backup to Contreras?
I don't know.
Or are they trading Contreras?
No, how can you trade Contreras? What would they? Come on. That's like the ultimate no-brainer. Sign Wilson Contreras.
I
can't believe that that's not done. What are you doing up there?
Agreed.
Not that I care, but I mean, jeez.
They want a deal.
A deal? I mean...
Hometown discount.
You got to.
You're making more room for more macaroni around the stadium.
Sign
Wrigley Field. They want every single what is it?
Farfalle?
Yeah, Farfalle. They want some Farfalle out there.
Chris Farley. What is that?
Chris Farley?
Every piece of pad. They had a piece of macaroni out there. It's going to be around the whole Wrigley Field.
I see.
And they have nothing but pasta sponsored.
I
by the Sons of Italy.
They're going to have a big bucatini noodle over there before you know it. A nice, thick bucatini noodle.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. Don't come for the play. Come for the atmosphere.
Come for the pasta.
I love my partner getting fired up on social media. And again this morning talking about what the Cubs need to do.
Gomes.
You stripped the team all the way to its studs, and now you expect them to spend $300 million.
That ain't gonna happen.
I think you're the Dodgers next year.
Right. Now what you do is you sign Yan Gomes.
Well, he's a hard 220.
Let's just remember that.
It's unbelievable. That's a hard 220. Yes. Hell yeah.
That's a hard 220.
Okay, Correa is still out there.
Okay. Yeah. What's he coming to the Cubs?
Is he going? Is he not going to Detroit now? Because they said Javi, or they put Javi at second?
I'm all for the Tigers. Keep going. You know what? Make it harder on the White Sox, right? I want battles within the Central so they're battle-tested for the playoffs.
The Tigers are going to be decent, man. I mean,
well, not with Baez. That's a joke.
Well, if they sign Correa...
Well, no, but Baez, a 7-year deal?
Six years.
140.
About $23 million. That seemed about right.
His best years are done.
23 and change.
Trevor Story's still out there.
Trevor Story's out there.
Nick Castellanos.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line drive.
Stroman. I'm hearing Schwarber to the Phillies could be
soon.
That's
what it sounds like. I wish the Sox would be interested in Schwarber. I don't get it.
We can use some left-handed thump.
Like, yes.
Yeah. Chris Taylor.
Put him in right.
Raisel Iglesias. They need to rebuild their bullpen. Rizzo.
To all the girls I've loved
before.
Traveled in and out my door. The winds have changed. They are blowing. Really? Some dude named Iglesias?
Wait a minute.
Rizzo.
You said Rizzo's still available,
Rizzo's
right?
Rizzo's available.
Rizzo's out
Frank
there.
Rizzo.
So we still get the show in the spring, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever he goes?
Oh, for sure.
We still get the Rizzo show, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
R-I-Z-Z-O.
R-I-Z-Z-O.
He might actually say something, though.
He's a Ray or wherever.
So, well, you know we're going to keep that, right? As grandfathered in, Carmen, did you know
that's
that?
That's it. Yes,
we
it
still,
is.
We still get the sleepy Rizzo
that's right.
Hit every week.
No matter where he is. I mean, the Marlins are spending money, guys. What are the Cubs and the Sox? Let's go, boys. What are we waiting for here? The Marlins signed Robbie Ray.
Yeah, I call this hot stove the easy bake oven. That's what this is.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a hot stove.
This is a simmer. Well,
Mariners, not Marlins, got Ray.
It's a simmer.
Oh, Mariners.
Correct.
Did the Marlins sign somebody? I feel like the Marlins.
They re-signed Sandy Alcantara.
Maybe yeah, that's but they what signed somebody else as
I thought
a free
they did.
Agent.
I thought...
Abisail Garcia, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe that's a yes.
Abisail, yes. Well, where are you going to play him?
Well, he looks like Miggy. He's going to hit like Miggy someday.
Man, oh, man. Remember that?
Yeah,
the Garcia experiment with the White Sox?
Stop it.
Have a sale.
You guys can take Trout out. I'm okay with Garcia.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
You guys can have Trout. I'll take Avi.
What's that? You want to have Baez? Where are you going to play him? Baez to the Sox? No shot.
You're out of your mind.
Tim Anderson.
Well, Jeter's good, but... I'll take the missile.
That's what he said.
Who used to call him the Cuban cigar instead of the Cuban missile?
I remember I was at Glendale, and I'm walking with Stoney, and here comes Hawk. We start talking. This was before the 16 season. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I know, I heard you with all that Chris Bryant, Rizzo, but I'll take our young kids over yours.
Sure.
I'm like, okay.
Young kids? Who? Adam Dunn? Like, what young kids was he talking about at the time?
No,
that's right.
In 2015.
Hawk, the major talent evaluator. I'm going to put a Hall of Fame catcher in left and bring in Karkovas. Yes! What? What are you doing?
We need James Shields. It's like, that's, you know, like, wait a minute.
What are you doing, Hawk? I wish
they'd go out and they'd sign Schwarber, though. I do.
Some left-handed thump would be nice in the lineup.
Yeah.
So you should have done it last year.
So you got some bullpen help, but you still need to take care of second
bullpen.
Base.
I like the bullpen. Yeah, I mean, Semien's off the board. I would have loved Semien.
You need some thump, guys.
You got to figure out second.
There we are.
You probably need another starter.
There it is, Cap. There it is. The right dynamite there. Color right there.
Professional.
There thumper. It is right there. The drop-in. Just
you
to be involved.
You need a thumper.
There it is. That's all.
Dynamite drop-in.
Two spots.
This is why he was...
Thanks, Monty.
This is why he was ninth on Fox right there. Those cut-ins right... Him.
You know what my criticism was?
What's that?
Too much like Madden and Millen.
Really?
I mean, God forbid. You're two best guys. I'm too much like them.
Wait a minute.
That's what they said?
Me? Of course that's what they said.
You're actually the opposite of those guys.
What does that mean?
You're more entertaining. We can't use you.
Yeah, you're too
funny. Thank you.
You're too funny.
I appreciate
that. That's not too funny. That's right.
Do you think that the signing of Yan Gomes, you're a baseball guy, Carmen, means that Contreras is going to get traded?
No.
Oh, no.
I don't. Why would you trade?
Yes, it does.
I'm starting to get very nervous. They're going to trade.
What are you nervous about?
Trade him to the South Side.
You're tanking, pal.
You're at the end.
Exactly, I'll take Wilson Contreras.
3 to 5 year build.
Love Wilson
and guess
Contreras.
What? He's good. Draft lottery.
You should.
That's right. Want to introduce the draft lottery in Major League Baseball for the June entry draft. There's some analysis for you.
Because they want to get rid of tanking.
Yeah, that's why the rule changes.
You're tanking.
They're proposing.
You're right back to where
Cubs
you started.
Stink.
Congratulations.
They stink.
Welcome to
No bueno. They're awful.
2013. Yeah. Congratulations.
They're over.
Yeah, but.
But
I'll give you the yeah, but.
Comfort Park. That's what the big guy wants you to come for.
I mean, if they reset it and it's as productive as it was from 15 through 19, you take it, right? I mean,
but even
if you told me that they're going to
even but you no Theo though in the spot.
That's true. There's no Theo.
It's Jed. That's the difference.
That's true.
Ah. Like if I said to you, all right, you're going to lose 101, then you're going to lose 99. But after that, you're going to be right there to win it.
Yeah.
Would you take it?
Sure. I think most fans would.
They got to build an entire starting pitching staff because they're going to trade Hendricks too. So you got to get your whole starting pitching together. You got holes everywhere. You got an expensive right fielder that you don't need, and you trade Contreras, then you're done.
It's almost like you got to wait. Trading Contreras would be bad.
You're looking at 2026 at the earliest.
Because you figure Contreras is still.
That's realistic.
What's Contreras? 29?
Yep.
You mean like done. You figure Contreras is still probably in a. Somewhat of a what you got a 3 or 4 year window where you could win with like if
33 year old catcher playing
that's you're getting close I know
games.
You're getting close you're it's true you're you done. Are I Ke- like if you've got a 3 year window or maybe 4 at the most
listen Kev,
you have a 4 year
you're
window
being for you're going to be bad
for who
three
the White
years?
Sox or the Cubs
no I'm saying like to like keeping Contreras does it no. make sense if no. you think within 3 years you no. can be competitive again
no because he's going to be on the he's the catcher he's going to be on the decline
he catches a lot too maybe
like
they will
look,
train
he's
him
a really
then.
Good player but the fact that they haven't gone out and done anything to this year
so maybe they will train
I mean
him. I'll take him on the south side
yeah he'd look good in a White Sox
uniform Yasmani DH more and let him catch
well Grandal should be the everyday DH. I mean,
dude,
four catchers, a fine DH.
You'd have the best battery in the league, wouldn't you, with those two?
Yeah. What, Contreras and
Grandal?
Oh, God.
Are you kidding?
That's right.
Right. What's it going to, like, what does it take to pull off trade-off like that? I mean.
Look, you got
to
look at the bright side cap. As you look at this Cubs team, it's not you having to drag DeJesus through 162 games.
Ha!
You know, you don't have to do that.
God.
You know. It's not like you got to be in the studio every day covering the Cubs every day for all your losses. Well, I'm sorry.
I've done that deal already.
Well, exactly. So look at the bright side. You could be home frustrated instead of being there trying to shine up a turd.
Holly's back on the market. He's available.
Holly's back on the market? I don't know.
Really?
I like Holly.
He's out at the Marlins?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
What happened?
They're cutting all their pay down there, so they changed out their booth.
That's what everybody's doing. They cut their pay. They get rid of the analysts and the broadcasters. You believe it?
Right. You know what? Fox will pick them up.
Holly's good, dude.
Holly's great.
Good. He's good.
Well, you don't have to drag. You don't have to drag through it now. All those losses. You don't have to worry about. You don't have to put on the pancake makeup sit there with DeJesus.
Let the Marquee Network do that now. Worry about it.
That's Cole Wright's problem.
The 10 best Cubs homers in the 30s.
Yeah.
Here on Mark.
Is that Vanner Allwright?
That's not Vanner Allwright. No, it's not.
Who's the guy doing that?
Cole Wright. My guy. Cole Wright.
No, but who's the analyst that's on after a lot of those
Ryan
games?
Ryan Sweeney, Sean Marshall.
I don't know.
Well, there's somebody else. Maybe Ryan Sweeney.
Trying to figure out what the hell the Blackhawks are doing with their booth.
Boy, is that crazy or what? It's like a different combination every night.
Who the hell are you people?
I know.
That's it.
I think Colby Cole's pretty good, actually.
I don't know.
I've got no idea who these people are. They got every night. There's somebody different.
It's a hard transition.
Who's the wizard doing things over there now?
I don't know.
That's the Hawks.
That's all Blackhawks.
That's my wife.
Is it?
She's making those decisions.
Michelle's making those decisions.
Sorry.
The Peacock?
Yeah, she's making those decisions.
We're putting Colby Cohen in there.
Tell her I'm scratching my head.
I'll tell her.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think Colby's pretty good, though. I like him.
Which one's Colby?
Colby Cohen's the young kid that they got doing a lot of the analyst work.
We got Andrew Shaw in there.
Yeah, Shaw needs to loosen up a little bit.
Mr. Personality.
Well,
boy.
Yeah. I mean, I told
you. You take the helmet off him, you can't get a word out of him.
I told PB, you got to get him to,
PB is the rock that
Of course.
Is.
Without PB, please.
I mean, for him, it's like going to Alcatraz every day.
It's tough.
Like going to prison to work with those people.
But we knew it was going to be a tough transition anyway, Yerk.
Yeah, the whole thing's a tough
After
transition.
Foley and Eddie O, you know it's going to be tough, right?
Yeah.
tough transition. That's all.
Yeah. Edzo should be running the whole shop over there.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, it's not happening.
Why would you not make Eddie Olczyk president of hockey operations?
I don't know.
Let him hire a GM.
Yeah, let him hire people.
Because
I mean,
you're the one bringing it up. That's why the Hawks aren't going to do it.
No,
you don't get that. It, whatever the people want,
that's
they're
true.
Not going to do.
I think he's right about that.
You just happen to be mentioning it right now.
I think we all like Eddie too much, and they're like, we don't want. They're afraid to put somebody in that position that is, which is weird. Like that is as much of a fan favorite as Eddie is.
We can tout it here. They get touted down the dial. Everybody can tout it, but they're exactly not going to do that. They're going to do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, they're like, no, we're going to. You think we should go this way, we're going to go that way.
Let's face it.
It's like the Bears.
If we think the Cubs are going to stink, you know, this little revival for the Hawks, 6-9, they're still less than a point a game team. They're terrible.
Yeah, they're not good.
They're terrible.
Kick
you're
us
not,
out here.
You're not good.
Time to go, guys.
You stink. See you, boys. See you tomorrow.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
Thanks, George.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
All-timer.
Carmen and Yurko
see
are next.
Tomorrow.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast, is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
You know, we've complained the last couple of years there hasn't been much of one, and there was collusion a few years ago, and there was this and that, and players didn't sign until spring training. Now we got a lockout looming. The current CBA expires tomorrow. Today is the last day of November, folks. We're about to enter the 12th month of the year, and that means the current CBA will expire at, midnight Eastern time tonight, I guess. So baseball players are signing left and right for big money. But here in Chicago, there's no hot stove, really. Like some embers.
Yeah, there's nothing happening.
A couple of embers.
Embers, I mean, what deals have been done except for the one that we just heard about, Johnny Gomes.
Signed for Graveman. Three for 24? Do I have that deal right? Isn't that what he signed with the Sox? I think it was it three for 24, Mel?
For Graveman, yes.
Yeah. So you've got that. You've got Yan Gomes at 34 signing.
Cap Two for 13.
Two for 13. Thinks that means they're going to trade Wilson Contreras in this offseason. If I were Rick Hahn, I'd be making a couple calls. Boy, how many trades can the Cubs and Sox make together, though? You know, they made like one trade in what they made two trades in like 25 years. Now they've made two in the
right
like big ones in the last couple. Two big ones.
They did the Sosa right. Sosa,
yeah,
George,
like, there
Bell
was
draft.
There was that. There was the John
Arjuma.
Garland deal.
Remember the Arjuma deal?
Yeah, but that's like a pretty minor.
But it was still a deal, Carm. We're either talking about deals or we're not talking about deals. Even though it was minor, it was still a deal.
So they did Arjuma. They did like the Garland. Garland was young. They didn't really know what they had. Right. But they traded Garland to the Sox for what? Matt Karchner, I think. They did the Sosa Bell deal. That one was bigger. But, I mean, really, besides that, from, like, 1990, how many deals did they do?
Not many.
And then the big ones happened. The Quintana, Eloy.
Thanks, Cubs!
Think about last year.
Yeah. Boy, that was
another big one. And the Cubs might have been set up with Cody Hoyer and Madrigal. And, unfortunately, it didn't work out on the south side for Craig Kimbrell.
And what are we to face this year?
So, is there going
to
be another trade? Another big trade?
And what are we to face this year? The White Sox are going to be a good team, and you're trying to stave everybody off. It doesn't look like Cleveland is the team that you got to stave off anymore. It's going to be Detroit.
Detroit
is going to be your team that you got to stave off and got to hold on so you can continue your little mini dynasty that you're going to have over
mini
there.
Mini dynasty?
Well, yeah.
Got to win more than a playoff game.
I understand. I'm just talking about consecutive playoff appearances.
Oh, wow.
Like the Atlanta Braves of the early 90s, Carm, is what I'm talking about right now.
Sure.
Playoff after playoff after playoff, and then eventually you find a way to get into the World Series.
I hope. World Series. They got to win two games for crying
all
out loud.
All I know is who's going to pay this team when the bill comes due? Who's going to pay this team?
Who's going to pay what team?
The White Sox. When this bill comes due and all that young talent is ready to get paid, they're not going to be White Sox players. But let's
luckily
not
they
worry
have some
about
time.
That. Let's not worry about that right now.
That's what they do well. They
that
lock
is what
up.
They
They've
do
locked
well.
Up Eloy. Yeah. They've locked up Luis Robert.
Right. So now what you need to do, because you have team-friendly deals, now you have to spend some money to fill a couple of the holes that you do have. And you've got a glaring hole at second, right?
In right field.
Marcus Semien, whom you drafted twice. The organization has great familiarity with. You drafted him out of high school. You drafted him again out of college. He signs with the Rangers. Where'd Escobar sign? With the Mets, right?
Yes.
Eduardo Escobar signed with the Mets. Javi Baez, who he's got positional versatility and he certainly could play second for you, signs with, not that I really wanted the Sox to sign Javi, don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
still.
That's a lot of money for
the
him.
The Tigers go out and sign Javi Baez. It is a lot of money. Although it's, you know, like probably three more a year than we thought he was going to get. Didn't we figure he'd probably still, on name and alone, get about $20 million a year?
I never, that contract was one where I was sitting around waiting because, and the truth be told, it took like an absurd September for him, I think, to kind of regain that value. Because a lot of people were wondering what his value was going to be. But he went nuts in September for the Mets.
He did. And I also think, and I know we've talked about this, I think Javi is probably one of, honestly, 10, a dozen MLB players that you could truly say moves the needle and sells tickets. Javi Baez, while he's a very flawed player, and he's not anything close to a top 10 or 12 player in baseball, in terms of sex appeal, Javi's got it. He is one
of... He is sexy.
Yes, he is.
And
he will sell tickets wherever he goes. So Javi does have that going for him, which is important to an owner at the end of the day. But yeah, I mean, like, the Sox have a few holes here, a few glaring weaknesses. And what have they done to address it? The Graveman addition is nice, but you're talking about a seventh or eighth inning guy. What have you done? You've got a glaring, gaping hole in right field. They have a hole at second base.
They are looking for the market to cool.
You need another catcher.
They're looking for a cooling market, Carm.
And I would like to know, like, okay, guy, what's the plan now? I mean, who are you in on? Who are you talking to? Who are you kicking the tire? Like, what's the plan? Are you just going to bargain shop?
That's what it looks like.
You tried that last year. How'd that work for you in right field? You had to cut Adam Eaton. You had to designate Adam Eaton for assignment. And I don't want to hear about, well, we tried. Here's the White Sox. We tried.
Well, we were in third.
We offered more money to Jock Peterson. Well, Peterson didn't sign here. We offered more money to Manny Machado. Actually, you didn't.
Yeah.
And he didn't sign here.
It wasn't even remotely close.
Like, I don't need to hear about, well, we tried. How about, like, get somebody that you've identified and targeted that could really help you? Why weren't they in on Michael Brantley a year ago?
I'm glad you're frustrated. You should be frustrated.
Yeah, well, I mean, like...
You should be frustrated.
Not even frustrated, maybe, but more curious and slightly annoyed. Like, okay, what are we doing? What is the plan? You can't roll out the same team.
Those weaknesses are
real. You have holes to fill.
February. You're going to address this in February. Whatever you have, you're going to do a makeshift thing in February.
It won't even be that, though, Yerk, if they don't have a new CBA. This might be dragging on until March.
Could be April.
Honestly, I'm looking at, like, the guys who still move the needle. Carlos Correa, he's still out there, but I don't think the White Sox have any intention of signing him. He'd be great, though. You could put him at shortstop and move Tim Anderson to second.
And if Tim would be cool with that, that's a conversation you'd probably have to have with, like, the heart and soul of your team. And if Tim were to go to you, and I mean, who knows, unless you have it, and Tim were to say, yes, I want nothing more than to win. And Tim seems like he's got a winning attitude. Now, I don't know that he'd want to move from that position or not. That might be a difficult conversation.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean,
but what if you did bring him in and talk to him about it, and Tim Anderson said, you've got my blessing. Go sign him.
Listen, from my read on the type of person Tim Anderson had been, is I think he would be, if Rick Hahn and the White Sox baseball ops called him in and said, look, Tim, this makes us a better team, he'd be a little disappointed. But I think within 2 minutes, he'd be like, let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. That's the type of person and leader Tim Anderson has shown he is.
So if you do that and Tim says yes, why wouldn't you? Why is that not something that you are interested in? Oh, and by the way, they already ended up with the manager you should have had in Detroit. Why not potentially keep another great player away from a division rival?
But so I think that's unrealistic.
I do too. I agree.
They were interested in Trevor Story at the trade deadline. He's still a free agent, but we've talked about signing a guy who's moving away from cores to a big deal. You're concerned about that.
Always a little concerned.
Chris Taylor.
Chris Taylor's interesting.
He's won a World Series with the Dodgers. He can play second. He can play center field for you if you need. He can play all over the diamond. He can play right.
I would say play second and right. But now, again, you're talking about a right-handed hitter. I wish they would add some left-handed production. I wish they'd find a right fielder that could, some lefty power that could play right field.
I mean, Schwarber's the best one available.
Schwarber's the best available.
It sounds like he's deep in talks with the Phillies.
They tried Nomar Mazara, remember? I mean, exactly.
Yes, unfortunately. Oh, yeah.
They tried Jock Peterson. He didn't take their money. They tried Adam Eaton. We knew how that worked. We knew how that was going to work out anyway, quite frankly.
I mean, they could go back down. They could try and give Jock Peterson their money again. He's available.
Chris Taylor's interesting. I mean, I wish they'd get a lefty, but boy, Chris Taylor is...
Castellanos?
Another righty,
I know,
okay.
But I'm filling your... there's a right fielder for you.
You're right. I'd probably be okay with it.
Chris Bryant.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think I'd be okay with that, too. Would I be okay with that?
You would hope you'd be okay with that.
I mean, I think I would be. I like Chris Bryant. I've always been a Chris Bryant fan. I think I would be. There's another guy who could play everywhere in the diamond for you. You start giving guys days off. He plays anywhere. He could play right field for you.
Those are the big names that are left, basically.
I wish they would get a lefty. If they do not get Schwarber, who's probably the best option for what they really need, Bryant, Taylor, those are good choices. Taylor's just a winner, too. You roll into October every year, Chris Taylor's like magical. You know, I don't know. I don't know how you define that or how you... you know, Bill James says you really can't. Maybe he's right, and it's just fluke. But it seems like every October, there's Chris Taylor hitting big home runs. 312-332-3776 is the number. Sox fans, Cub fans, too, if you want. I think it's a little bit more pressing for Sox fans right now. Like, what are your thoughts on what's happening here? You're seeing big names signed everywhere to beat a deadline of a lockout that's going to arrive later tonight, first thing tomorrow morning. What's the plan? What do you want to see the White Sox do? 312-332 ESPN. Plus, Brian Kelly, Bolt South Bend. Eddie Jackson talks about the booing that they're hearing at Soldier and the booing that Matt Nagy and his family have to endure. We got a lot of great stuff to talk about, some great sound to play for you. So don't go anywhere. Yeah, Tiger Woods spoke this morning, too, about his accident and his future on the golf course. So, tons happening on this Tuesday, folks. Stay with us. Long way to go. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The sun is shining. And we got a lot happening today. Baseball's hot stove has been cooking. Unfortunately, all's kind of quiet, minus a few minor moves by the Cubs and White Sox. Jesse Rogers in about 30 minutes. He'll talk baseball with us. There is a report that Brian Kelly, the new head coach at LSU, this morning, or I guess maybe yesterday actually, reached out to Marcus Freeman, his defensive coordinator, who they lured away from Cincinnati. And people are very high on. Former Bears draft pick, I'll have you know, Marcus Freeman.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You.
Yeah, former fifth-round pick of the Chicago Bears.
Wonderful.
Apparently, Kelly reached out to Marcus Freeman on Monday in an effort to bring him to the red baton. Kelly would intend to make Freeman the highest-paid defensive coordinator in college football. Yeah. But then Yurko saw another report from
there's a couple
PFF
notes out there.
College football,
right,
where they're saying there's a strong likelihood that Marcus Freeman's going to slide in and be the next head coach. You know, does Notre Dame feel like it's got to go out and recruit a huge name? Like, do they need to talk to Urban Meyer, who's got long ties? I shouldn't say long, but certainly has ties to Notre Dame.
He does.
And people thought at some point he'd always end up there. Yurko and I differ on this. I can't see Urban Meyer staying at the collegiate level. I just can't. I think he's going to go the way...
At the professional level.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, Yurko. Thank you. I can't see him staying in the NFL. I think he's going to go the way of Nick Saban. And not that he's the same as Bobby Petrino, because there might not be a worse human being on the planet than Bobby Petrino. But I don't think he's made or meant for the pro game. I think Urban Meyer is going to go back to college. I think he's going to be one and done in the NFL. We'll see. So there was some thought, you know, like, should they be interested in Urban Meyer? Look, they were very successful in hiring a Cincinnati coach. Luke Fickle's about as hot a commodity as there is. Now, he might not be in any position to start talking to Notre Dame because this guy's about to make history, potentially. They could be in the Final Four.
They could be.
They could be the first non-Power 5 to be in the Final Four. So Luke Fickell might be like, listen, I know it's I can't do this now. I don't know. What other name? Oh, Matt Campbell's the other name you're going to hear a lot about, right? At Iowa State. because he's done some good things at Iowa State. And you know, how much can you actually win? You get to a certain point, like, don't you kind of peak at Iowa State? You know, it's time to, it's probably time for Matt Campbell to find the next job. And so, like, I think he's a realistic candidate. Who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah, that's a launching school. That's a launching pad.
Sure.
It's not a set destination.
For
like
sure.
The Fighting Illini were with basketball. You know, Bill Self, I always called them a launching pad. You're ready to go there to a bigger, more legitimate basketball school than what the University of Illinois was, which is why Bill Self left.
Yeah.
Yes.
To take the Kansas job.
Yes.
Now that's a job.
That's a job.
You know.
Fighting Illini in Champaign with all the pig slop, you know, to the south.
It's okay,
not good.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Champaign, depending upon wind condition, can be a very nice place.
Right.
Certain wind conditions, it's an unbearable place.
Yeah. Why is Brian Kelly leaving? Look, I think it's pretty obvious. Brian Kelly's a good coach. He's done very well there.
Has won big games.
But every time they've run into a situation where they've got to compete against the best of the best, the Alabamas or the Clemsons, Ohio States, it hasn't gone well, like Yurko said. 5-5 in bowl games, Yurko. But in the four BCS/college football playoff bowl games in which Brian Kelly led Notre Dame, 0-4, a minus 88 in scoring differential. That's getting beat by better than three touchdowns a game. They weren't in any of those games. And I think he probably knows, like, even though I've heard he's got an unbelievable recruiting class, not heard, read. I mean, everybody's reading that now. He's got an unbelievable recruiting class coming in with the best probably he's ever had there. I think he probably realizes that there's a lot of money on the table that is too good to pass up. Oh, and now he can go and try to work his magic with a better caliber, or at least different caliber of recruit in the SEC. And it won't be easy. But guess what the last three head coaches at LSU all did? One national championship.
One national championship. Les Miles.
Nick Saban, Les Miles, and Ed Orgeron.
And Ed Orgeron.
And did Nick Saban have a ton of ties to the SEC when he went down there? I mean, Nick Saban was kind of a Midwest guy, too, wasn't
right.
he? I mean,
yep.
He was with Belichick. Obviously, he goes back to the NFL. He was with Parcells, with Belichick. He was coaching at MSU. I mean, I don't, and maybe
Dolphins.
I'm wrong.
Wasn't he with the Dolphins at some point, Nick Saban?
After LSU, yeah. And then he went to Alabama,
yeah.
Yes. I don't know that he, did he have great, strong ties to the SEC? And, I mean, look what Nick Saban did there. Now, maybe we shouldn't be comparing anybody to Nick Saban, but Nick Saban in 03, they might have been saying the same thing. Like, really? The guy from MSU is going to come down and coach in the SEC? That seems to have worked out. So Brian Kelly might be able to pull this off. I do think he's a good coach.
The hard part, or listen, they give him a ton of money. So I can absolutely understand why he would take that job. And, you know, it sounds like Notre Dame had the opportunity to match. And
said thanks, but no thanks?
Yeah, that's too much, too rich for their blood. The problem is you go to LSU, the expectations are
you
national title, and you've got Alabama and Georgia in your side of the bracket in the SEC. I think, to me, the Lincoln Riley move, now that's playing chess. Because he saw Oklahoma slated to potentially be in the SEC West next year with Texas. And forget, you might be able to win that division, but having to go through Georgia and Alabama year after year, get to the title game, I don't know if Lincoln Riley's situation was going to fly. Meanwhile, he bails for USC, where he can run the Pac-12
much more wide open.
You know, and recruit in Southern California.
No disrespect to Utah, because I think Kyle Whittingham's great. And like, but you went from competing against Alabama and Georgia and LSU and Texas to competing against Utah.
No, he installs what you did. You see, he's got four recruits who had committed to Oklahoma. They're three five-stars and a four-star for like 2022 and 2023, all from Southern California.
Yeah, so
don't be surprised if they
got wired. Yeah, right.
Head to USC.
So, I mean, look, I get why Brian Kelly's trying to do it. I think he figures this just, he probably maxed out at Notre Dame. Are you surprised Notre Dame wouldn't match? I mean, Notre Dame, it's not like Notre Dame's hurting for money.
No, I'm not surprised because if they wanted Brian Kelly, they would have solidified him to a deal before the year. Don't you? They would have extended his contract.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Yurk.
Swarbrick's not was surprised because maybe they didn't plan on keeping him to begin with.
So LSU's, you know, he says, well, this is what they're going to pay me. You guys can match it. And they're like, nah, we're good.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, you know, it's come on. You can't tell me that Notre Dame doesn't have the money to pay Brian Kelly. If it's Notre Dame, what's the endowment?
I don't know.
Notre
Over Dame? The course of time, at some point, you know how people start to get a break. Even Lou Holtz left.
Yes. Yeah. You know,
even Lou Holtz ended up leaving the University of Notre Dame, and he had won a national championship there, their last national championship.
Yes, that's right.
So, I mean, at some point, they rubbed each other the wrong way.
It's the 10-year rule.
And they started irritating the hell out of each other as opposed to be able to work with each other. That's fine.
I wanted to see, you know, I mean, yeah, I do find it like somewhat, oh, yeah, when you find out that Notre Dame had a chance to match and they're like, nah, we're okay. You can't tell me that it's too much money for Notre Dame. Nobody's going to buy that for 1 second that's too much money for Notre Dame. So,
yeah.
I guess they were.
They're fine with all the endowments they have and everybody lining up to build new buildings over there and put their names on it.
That's
what
I mean. Like, Notre Dame's endowment is...
Carm, they got endowments that pay position...
Oh, it's
got
to be in the billions.
$12 billion. Yeah. Dollars.
Carm, do you know they have endowments where individuals to pay the salaries of the softball coach?
Is that right?
Pay the salary of the hockey coach? Yeah.
$12 billion.
They've got endowments that just pay their coaching staffs.
Yeah, so, Yeah, I don't want to hear, oh, no, Notre Dame can't pay him. Yurko's probably right. Maybe they were ready to be done with Brian Kelly.
I mean, they're probably like, you know what? If you had won a national title, it'd be a different conversation.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't won a national title, and
won a national title. They've been smoked in every chance they had.
That's the point. If you're Notre Dame, it's not just good enough to just get to the playoff, is it?
I don't know that that's all on Brian Kelly, though. I mean, I don't know that anybody's going to be able to fix that, short of maybe Urban Meyer.
Okay,
like, get them into a playoff and actually be competitive. They got smoked in every one of those games.
You're right, but if you're Notre Dame,
yeah, I know.
Isn't that the goal?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to get to the playoffs and get smashed.
The bigger effect is on the kids that they're bringing in as recruits.
Right.
Now, remember, the head coach doesn't get to do a ton of recruiting because it's his assistants that go out there and do a lot of that. So if there's an exodus of commitments from Notre Dame with Brian Kelly leaving, then you'd be a little bit concerned. But if the kid from Andrean out here is going to stick around and he's not going to go anywhere and he's going to stay and stick with Notre Dame. And it looked like the guy they're going to name was the one that was recruiting him, Freeman.
Marcus Freeman.
Yeah. It looked like he was the one that recruited him out of Andrean. And he's this Drake Brown, I think his name is, from Andrean. He's sitting there going, hey, it's time for Coach to step up and become the head guy. And if that happens, then it doesn't look like you're going to lose a lot of your recruits.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's what you need. You need the recruits to stick around because the recruits are the ones that are out there actually getting it done or not getting it done.
Jeff in Western Springs is on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks.
Quick question. If Notre Dame gets Luke Fickell before the college football playoffs and Notre Dame somehow makes it, let's say they end up 3 and Cincy ends up 2.
Can you imagine?
Could he actually coach against his team?
I don't know.
In that game?
That is so I don't know, Jeff. I think everything about that scenario is so unlikely, to be
honest. That's how Notre Dame jumps Cincinnati in the polls. They take Cincinnati's coach and they say, you know what?
They're not the same team.
We've now got their head coach. Give us the invite.
That's pretty funny. I don't know, buddy. I can't imagine that scenario playing
out. That's
pretty
good. That's funny.
And honestly, Luke Fickell, like I said, might be like, I can't do this now. We're on the brink of history. I've got to have the Bearcats in the playoff, and I can't focus on anything else but that right now. It's not like when they hired Brian Kelly away from Cincinnati. The circumstances are different right now. All right, if you got thoughts on this, who should get the job? Should they be looking big? Should they stay in-house and give it to Marcus Freeman? 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Yurko. We will be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Follow the show, join the chat, get interactive on Twitch. Watch us every day in the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio. It's twitch.tv or download the Twitch app. Simply search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Make sure you click the follow button. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Yep.
We have some social media news. It doesn't quite meet the standards of breaking news.
Well, but there's a couple things here. One's specifically about Notre Dame and one is baseball, which this is what we've been talking about all hour so far. Go ahead, Miller. What's happening in social media's realm of breaking
news? The world
news.
Of social media via Twitter.
Yeah.
Wilson Contreras has tweeted out 4 airplanes. The four airplane emoji.
Is it like a prop plane, meaning he's taking it from Wrigley to U.S. Cellular? Oh. What is it called? Guaranteed rate?
Did I just call it U.S. Cellular?
So is there a song
or is it a jet, like a 747? He's leaving the state.
What would be the appropriate song to go with that emoji?
Okay, hold on. You're better at this than I am.
I've got one for you.
Jefferson Airplane.
I'm leaving on a jet plane.
That's not Jefferson Airplane.
I don't know when I'll be back again. Leaving on a jet plane.
I think that's perfect.
I think that's good, Yerk.
I think that'd be good for Contreras. The accompanying music in that situation. And the player from Andrean is Drake Bowen.
Drake Bowen.
I apologize for... No. He's a linebacker.
Linebacker makes sense. If Marcus Freeman was here.
Yeah.
Okay, but he's a stud?
Good player, kid.
Is he stud?
Andrean just won the state championship over in the state of Indiana.
Very nice.
One of a handful of classes. I don't know how many they have.
Yes.
My kids didn't play football, so I don't know. I don't care. My kids played hockey.
On a jet plane. All right, so Contreras is hinting
it's perfect. So Contreras, what's the other one on social media? What else?
Well, the other thing is Sylvie texted us and he said, for what that Swarbrick said this morning at the presser.
Jack
Swarbrick at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame Athletic Director.
That there was no opportunity to counter the LSU offer despite reports to the contrary. He said Kelly was leaving. Sylvie said, because he watched the whole thing, he said he did seem excited to recruit a new head coach, though. So
the guy we got on the staff is going to be the head coach.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
It'll be interesting. I mean, you'll save a little bit of money. You get a first-year head coach that's on your own staff.
Save a lot of money. Again, not that they need to worry about saving money.
Their recruiting coordinator's another guy. He's the defensive line coach, associate head coach, okay, and their recruiting coordinator. Got their recruiting classes back to where they need to be.
So
he's another guy. I got to find his name, though.
So Bob Stoops is going to come back and coach Oklahoma in the bowl game. Is Lou Holtz going to coach Notre Dame in its bowl game? How great would that be? How great.
Well, Stoops got a kid on the team.
I know.
Yeah.
Who did they announce an interim at this point, or no? Have they not even done that? Like, Notre Dame does have a bowl game. It's going to be potentially a huge game.
They're saying the announcement will come tomorrow.
Okay.
Luke Fickell will be the interim head coach for the Notre Dame.
Stop it.
Fighting Irish.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Boy, Lou Holtz, man. You want to talk about a guy that knows how to work the room?
Oh, Holtz?
Oh, yeah.
God.
Always did. Always good.
He's a master.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and can spin yarns.
That's what I mean. Like, he's just an absolute spin yarns? Master. Is it any wonder he could go in and, like, recruit the pants off of? I mean, right? I mean.
And like, remember, he didn't leave campus. He never left campus. He stayed on campus and just kind of.
Unbelievable.
Entertained everybody.
He's the definition of, like, commanding the room, you know? Tom's in Oak Lawn on ESPN 1000. Tom, what up, buddy?
What's up? So, as a Notre Dame fan, I'm kind of not even worried about the playoff because I feel like unless there is huge chaos where, like, Michigan, Alabama, Oklahoma State, and Cincinnati, and Oregon just to throw...
It seems like they're looking to screw Notre Dame this year, doesn't it? Yeah, doesn't it feel that way?
They'll use this as an excuse to not put Notre Dame in. They say, well, they don't have their head coach, so how competitive are they going to be? So I'm not even worried about that. Now, as far as, like, the Marcus Freeman stuff, I hear that a lot of the recruits, they're more tied to Notre Dame and him than they are to Brian Kelly, which is why he wants to bring him over to LSU and do, like, a whole thing like Lincoln Riley is doing, get them to be like, instead of committing to Notre Dame, you know, how about you come over here to LSU? And that could be one of the reasons why he gets elevated. And then if you pay the extra money for the assistants like Tommy Reese to stay, you bring in somebody as like an associate head coach who has like, you know, coaching experience to help him out with stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I think it could be a good, smooth transition for the Irish.
Yeah, it all makes sense. Tom, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. It does. And Marcus Freeman has gotten nothing but high praise and glowing marks, I think, from everybody associated with the program. The only thing you're going to hear bad about Marcus Freeman is going to come from Cincinnati because they feel like, hey, why'd you bail on us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Mike Elston is the name that I'm thinking of, the defensive line recruiting coordinator.
Okay.
So if you're going to keep Freeman and you're going to elevate him, he's an important guy to keep, too. Mike Elston's one of those guys that, okay, your defense coordinator becomes the head coach. This is a guy who goes from defensive line recruiting coordinator to, you know, he becomes the defensive coordinator. You elevate him to the coordinator position,
mm-hmm.
and he still has that recruiting coordinator tag got with it. Him also, because he's the guy along with Freeman that have kind of got things back and got some commitments coming in.
And I also don't think there's any conspiracy against Notre Dame. I don't. If Alabama loses this weekend, I don't think a two-loss team is going. Alabama will be out. If Michigan were to lose this weekend, I don't see two-loss teams getting the opportunity. If Oklahoma State loses to Baylor,
they're out.
Like, if chaos happens, guess what? There's no conspiracy against Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to get a spot. I mean, it's the only thing that shouldn't happen is Notre Dame getting a spot over Cincinnati. They lost at home, head-to-head. Period. And even Yurko agrees with that, and he likes Notre Dame.
I do, and I'm a Notre Dame fan. Yes.
Yeah, but you know it. You even said it. You go, listen, if everything else, you could throw everything else out, computers and people and this and that. Cincinnati went into South Bend and won.
Period.
If Cincinnati doesn't get tripped up this weekend by Houston, Cincinnati's going. That's it.
If they do get tripped up, they're out, though.
Yes.
You got them out. They're a one-loss team that's out.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
That's the unfortunate part of being Cincinnati.
Yes. Or being from Cincinnati.
Or being like Waddle from Cincinnati.
Oh, my God.
And that sounds crummy, but I'm sorry. That's I don't just know. The I mean, way it at is. The expense of Notre Dame or somebody else, it's probably not going to happen. Cincinnati's a 10.5-point favorite, by the way, against a ranked Houston team. This is not a cakewalk for Cincinnati this weekend. They do get the home field advantage aspect of things, so that's big for them. I could see Alabama losing. Then again, I could see him winning. What do you think of that breakdown?
Yeah, that's compelling stuff.
What do you think of that? They should have lost last weekend if the kid goes down and bounds.
They might have lost. Yeah, here's my analysis on Michigan, Iowa.
Okay.
Michigan should win this game, but Iowa could win this thing. And then, wow, you've got chaos.
Michigan's a 10.5-point favorite against Iowa at Lucas Oil. What else? The other big one, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's a 5.5-point favorite over Baylor. Boy, Oklahoma State can play some D, man, I'll tell you. That team can play.
Cowboys can fly all over the football field.
Defense, Yurko. They could play some defense.
Of course, they're playing defense out there. We'll see what it's like when you got to play defense against the big boys.
312-332-3776 is the number if you want to join us. Jesse Rogers has a baseball update in 15 minutes. Eddie Jackson on booing. We'll play that for you when we return in 2 minutes.